Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score.
It was good news, bad news last night for the Cubs. The bad mental mistakes led to an extra inning loss to the Giants. Good news, Kyle Hendricks might be back. Is he the starter that will improve the most and help the Cubs win the pennant? On the South side, the Sox begin a series at home against the Cardinals, but they won't have a red-hot Avi Garcia. He's going back to the DL with an injury to that same hamstring. How does that affect the White Sox at the trade deadline? That and more tonight on Sports Talk Live. Welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Let's meet the panel for tonight's show. SB Nation Radio, Jason Gotch, News Radio and 105.9, the crafty veteran George Offman, and from 670thescore.com, Chris Emma. Guys, last night, Kyle Hendricks was the professor again. The changeup was working, the command was there, and I thought to myself, if he can be that guy, the Cubs really have something going in the second half.
One game is not enough.
No,
I want to see quite a few of them because he's had a real up-and-down season, but that is the guy who led the National League in ERA just a couple of years ago. He was absolutely sensational yesterday. Now you want to see that the next time and the next time out. You want to see that with Jose Quintana as well. Guys who have just kind of not been the type of pitchers that you expect this season. But last night, I mean, that was vintage stuff. What did he have, like 85 pitches going into the ninth or something?
He could have gone the distance, really.
Yeah, easily.
Kyle Hendricks is a guy who, first of all, I wouldn't be worried about him. I hadn't been worried about him even in this stretch, but he's a guy who really over-assesses and over-analyzes his mechanics to a fault. We've seen him at his best, and when he's at his best, he's dominant. He's got a deliberate motion. He's quick to the plate, and he's able to establish that fastball command. That's been gone lately, and Joe Maddon said he just sees a guy who's struggling in getting his mechanics right. He got back on track with that, and the key was getting ahead of that fastball, getting up in the counts. It's a good lineup of that Giants team, but he was able to get ahead of these guys and work from there. You mentioned it, Luke. Changeup was working well. He had the sinker going well. You saw late in the game, too, when that third time through the order, he had that curveball. He was dropping that by these hitters and really throwing them off. Another element to his game. The curveball was the key to him going deeper in that game and being at his best.
I always look at Kyle Hendricks, and people like to call him the professor because he's smart and he knows how to pitch, but I also think he's a total bulldog. I love the way he just walks off and is just kind of staring into the dugout when he heads off. Now, going into this season, I thought if you had to tell me one Cubs pitcher would be in the Cy Young conversation, I would have picked Hendricks because he's been the most consistent. What's been the problem?
Well, mechanics. He just hasn't been able to find his groove, and he hasn't been able to put it all together. It has been disappointing. I think one thing about with Joe Maddon and Kyle Hendricks, it's a very interesting dynamic because there are some times that Joe Maddon does not trust Kyle Hendricks. Go back to Game 7 of the World Series. Last night he did. But you wonder about the confidence. I understand he's got the bulldog mentality, and he's a very cerebral guy. But when you never know what your manager is going to bring to your specific outing, you wonder if that gets in a guy's head just a little bit.
He's given up home runs to the point where I think he's very close to his career high for one season. What was 17? Plus, he's been Lucas Giolito in the first inning. I mean, he came into last night's game with an area code of 847 in the first inning. That's very unlike him. So it was great to see him get by the first inning and then straight through.
He was terrific. Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question for tonight. Which Cubs starter needs to improve the most in the second half for the team to win the pennant? Is it Hendricks, Chatwood, Quintana, or Darvish? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Now, you could vote for a lot of these
all
guys. I mean, improve the most, well, that has to be Darvish. He hasn't barely pitched. But if you're just talking about who has to be the best in the second half, I don't know if it is. It could be Hendricks if you want to really compete. Hendricks has shown that he can compete at that level. But any of them would be a good answer, in my opinion.
I think what you need is to have a 1-2 combination going into the playoffs. And I agree, Hendricks is there. The book is out on you, Darvish. You know, whether or not he can give you anything in the second half would be more than what he gave you in the first half. And Jose Quintana's, he'll show you that when he's on, he's really good. So right now you have three pitchers, if you made the playoffs for certain, and their names are not Yu Darvish or Tyler Chatwood.
Well, yeah, you just want Darvish, of course, to be healthy first and foremost. He was brought in to be a key starter in big games in the playoffs. I mean, that's what he's here for. And we've seen him falter in that position before, including last year in Los Angeles. We know what this guy can be when he's at his very best, and he's been nowhere near that for most of his time with the Cubs before he got hurt. Get him back out there, ideally sometime in July, he's back on the mound, and try to get him back toward form toward October, because he was brought in to be that key arm. And I'll agree with you, I should say, with Jose Quintana, because they gave up a lot for this guy. I mean, we know what they gave up. We know what they sent to the south side. This guy needs to be a key part of this rotation. Chatwood, all due respect, he's just a fifth starter, and I'm not worried about Hendricks. So it's got to be Darvish and Quintana.
There's no question. We talked about this Cubs rotation before the season started, and we asked the question, could it be the best Cubs rotation ever? Well, they have not lived up to the hype at all so far this season. Can they do it in the second half?
I don't know. I have my doubts, really. After John Lester, Yu Darvish, to me, is a head case. He lacks confidence, and I worry about running guys out on the mound that have confidence problems. Hopefully, he'll get it back on track. Chatwood can't throw strikes. Hopefully, Hendricks finds a way, but it's one start. Last night was one start. And then Jose Quintana hasn't been the pitcher they expected when they traded for him. So after John Lester, there's a lot of question marks. The good thing is that they can hit the heck out of the baseball, and the National League is wide open, and they seem to find a way to win games on most nights.
We'll see if Quintana can get it going in the right direction tonight. Now, Ken Rosenthal says the Cubs are looking at adding a clubhouse leader, maybe Adam Jones or Curtis Granderson. I don't know what it would take to get to either one of these guys, but I'd love to see Curtis Granderson as an extra outfielder on the Cubs.
Probably for a song for Granderson.
Yeah.
Baltimore would probably want more, but, you know, what do you have? I'd rather see the Cubs get some more pitching. They're not going to get starting pitching. Probably bullpen help, and as Theo Epstein said the other day, everybody's after bullpen help. That's what they're going to need. I'm not quite sure why they need a leader. They've got enough leaders in their clubhouse.
I just think it'd be a great story for Chicago.
Yeah.
Curtis Granderson's one of the best guys in baseball. He's a Chicago guy. He didn't get drafted by either Chicago team. It'd be really cool to see him have a chance to do something special in Chicago.
He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, first and foremost. Yeah. That's the reputation of Curtis Granderson. Yeah, it'd be great to have him around. But look, we just talked about this rotation. They might need to go on and get somebody else, especially if somebody like Drew Smyly isn't available and you just can't feel safe about what you have in this rotation. But I'm with George. I'm looking toward that bullpen. I mean, I think the Cubs should be aggressive at somebody like a Brad Hand out of San Diego to really bolster the back end. Because you don't know how healthy Brandon Morrow is going to be. It's a guy with injuries in his past. And, you know, the Iowa Cubs up in the big league level are a nice story. But who knows if Randy Rosario is going to hold up. Anthony Bass, all down the line, these guys that they keep bringing up and plugging into these roles, I don't know if you want to trust them come the postseason.
One, you can't count on Smyly being there. I mean, you hope he's able to contribute somewhat in the second half. But you can't guarantee that that's going to happen. The question really is, and we talked about it yesterday, what are you willing to give up to get these relievers? What pieces are you really willing to move?
I think that's the biggest question, because they have depleted the farm system over the last couple of years with their trades. Now, I don't fault them for anything they've done. Going to get Quintana, that was a good gamble. Aroldis Chapman, they don't win the World Series without Aroldis Chapman. So you wait 108 years, you trade whatever you have to get that guy. But now when you look at trying to add a starter, how good are you going to add somebody, because you don't have a lot to give up? So you might have to go with these second-tier guys like Curtis Granderson. He'd be fine. How much would he help you? I don't know. But it's good to have a veteran presence in the clubhouse come August, September, and maybe even October. He might be able to get a big pinch hit or a hit in a situation. So I just don't know how much they have to give up right now, even if they wanted to give up people.
They don't. That's the key. You can't sit there and say, all these names have been floated about, like the Mets pitching staff might be available. The Cubs have nothing to give up.
Well, they have stuff to give up, but it'd have to come from the major league roster
and
at this point, right?
I'm not sure they're going to do that, because it's the depth that they have. That's what they like to do. That's why I'd like to know where a guy like, you know, Jones or Granderson are going to be fitting into a rather crowded outfield.
Is it possible that those names are being floated out there because they're looking at moving one of their current outfielders, whether it's Happ or somebody else in a deal?
If you were going to do that, I would go for pitching before I went for, you know, I wouldn't be trading that for another veteran. If I'm trading any position player at all, I want pitching back.
Or no, that Granderson or Jones would come and fill the gap left by somebody else. In a smaller deal, and then the big deal would still be coming.
I like the way you're putting these puzzle pieces together, because
I don't know.
And then if you want to go along those lines, I'm not speaking to reporting to anything here, but I mean, you've seen Ian Happ's versatility at third base, and you know he can play the infield. Maybe he's being showcased for something. I'm just speculating like you are here, but I think you're onto something. So But if there is no trade, if nothing happens, you feel good about what this team can be because the lineup's clicking all the way down. All the way down the line, and more importantly, once you get this rotation going, I believe that they will. It's a team that easily can win the World Series.
Well, you can look at it and say it's doom and gloom at some points this season, but Chris Bryant has missed a quarter of their games this season. Anthony Rizzo hasn't played his best that we know he could play, and Darvish hasn't contributed at all. And they're still right behind the Brewers and the second-best record in the National League.
And the good thing is that they're in the National League because it's wide open. The Nationals have been bad. The Braves and Phillies have been overachievers. I'm not sold that Milwaukee's going to keep this up in the second half. They might. The Dodgers are a sleeper team. They've come on after a bad start. The Diamondbacks probably need another at-bat, or a batter, rather. And then the Giants, you look at them, and, I mean, they're just kind of middling around 500. If they were in the AL, the Cubs would be in trouble because you have the Astros, you've got the Yankees, you've got the Red Sox, and the Indians are a good team, too. And even Seattle's playing out of their mind at this point. So the good thing is they're in the NL, and you get to, let's say they get through the National League, seven-game series in the World Series, anything can happen.
Yeah, everybody in the National League has struggled at one point or another so far this season. Chris Bryant is on his way to San Francisco. Homered last night with Tennessee, went 0-for-2 today before leaving the ballpark and then heading to California. And I don't know if that actually means he could potentially play tonight. That would be sort of crazy. I don't think they'd have him play a couple innings, fly across the country, and then try and get in a game tonight. But we talked to the play-by-play announcer, Mick Gillespie of the Tennessee Smokies, and he said Bryant looked good, felt good. So maybe they try and get him in a couple games here before the All-Star break. A week ago, I was thinking, just let him ride it out. Let him take the All-Star break. But I know the competitor is Chris Bryant. He's probably pushing to play these last couple games.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the lineup tomorrow or at least off the bench for a pinch hit. Obviously, he won't be there tonight. You got to do the roster moves. Sent down probably David Bodie, I guess. But it'll be great to get this guy back because, and you mentioned Anthony Rizzo as well. I mean, it's Bryant and Rizzo. These are the two biggest stars on this team. Bryant's been unavailable. Rizzo's been down this year. Get those guys back. Add them to the lineup. And especially a healthy Chris Bryant, because he was not at his best before he went on the disabled list. You could tell that that shoulder was bothering him. It became imperative to shut him down. It was great to see, I don't care if it's double A, to see that swing, to see him hitting the ball out of the ballpark. If you get Chris Bryant as Chris Bryant in the second half, and Rizzo is a nice bonus with that, you feel really good about where this team's going to go.
We've said a lot of what ifs, but I think if you take five of the things we've talked about and two of them improve, the Cubs quickly become the best team in the National League, or potentially the best team in the National League.
I think the two things that have to improve are starting pitching and starting pitching.
All right, George. Nothing could stop Avi Garcia except for that same hamstring that stopped him before. The Sox right fielder goes back on the DL for the second time this season. So what's this going to mean for the White Sox at the trade deadline and any plans they might have? Chuck Garfine is going to join us with the latest on Avi and more bad injury news for a big-name prospect. It's coming up next on STL.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live, August 2nd. It's the White Sox Talk Podcast Live. Come out to Reggie's in the South Loop for a taping with special guest, wait for it, Rick Hahn. For more information and RSVP, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/event. And speaking of the podcast, we bring in the star of the podcast. It is our Chuck Garfine. Sox and Cardinals, Chuck, opening on the south side, but they're going to be without Avi Garcia. 10-day DL. Should the Sox be concerned? It's the same injury, and how does this affect things moving forward?
They shouldn't be concerned. It's not as bad as it was. Sorry, I got to take this earpiece out. It's not as bad. It's not as bad as it was with the first injury when he missed 2 months. I mean, that was clearly a problem. And this is the same hamstring, but it's in a different position, different place in the hamstring. But it's a mild hamstring strain, not a moderate one. So they expect him to be back soon after the All-Star break. So he's going to miss 10 games or 10 days. And they feel like that's his return will be much sooner. And you know, going forward, he is a possible trade candidate for the White Sox. I mean, he was one of the hottest hitters in baseball the last couple of weeks. And if you look at the landscape right now, there's four playoff teams who have serious problems in the outfield, even in right field. I wrote down a few here. The Diamondbacks, they're first place in the West. They got Chris Owings batting 189 with three home runs. The Phillies have Aaron Altair. He's a right fielder batting 173. The Indians, they got, they're platooning Brandon Guyer and Rajay Davis in right field right now. They could really, really use Avi Garcia. Dexter Fowler, look what he's doing with the Cardinals who are in town right now. So I think if there's a market, there is a market out there for Avi Garcia. The only problem is he's hurt, so he's only going to have like a week and a half before the trade deadline. I'm not sure, that might be a little too much of a gamble for teams to be willing to trade for him, but you saw what he did before he got hurt, and that would be encouraging certainly for what could be in the future for Avi this year, because he's looking like he's more of what we saw last year than what we saw previous to that.
So they got to get this thing figured out. We're going to go back out to Chuck in just a second, let him get the earpiece thing settled up out there and figured out. I mean, it's terrible timing for the White Sox.
Sure it is.
Avi Garcia is one of the movable pieces they have. He just mentioned it. Guys are out there. Teams need him. But if he's hurt, how do you trade him?
Well, I'll tell you right now, if there's a marketplace for either him or Abreu, it's much higher for Garcia than it is for Abreu. Abreu is limited. He's not doing very well. And he plays first base and is a DH. And in the American League, there is no race. There are four teams, and the rest of them, forget about it. So I don't think there's a market for him. There might be for Garcia, and you're right. He's got to come back healthy. And I mean, when you've had one hamstring injury and then you've re-injured the same one, that's damaged goods.
It's unfortunate for the Sox. They've had some of their prospects get hurt this season in the rebuild. And then one of your movable pieces where you can get more prospects back is also banged up at just the wrong time.
Yeah, and you're right, it's unfortunate timing, but I agree with Chuck in that, you know, any team can use an outfielder like that, and once he does get back healthy, I feel good about what he showed last year. I mean, he was he had an all-star year last year, but even if he's just a slugging, power-hitting guy, somebody to plug into the middle of the order and get more from, as opposed to somebody like a Brandon Guyer, who Chuck mentioned, or, you know, Chris Owings, whatever it may be, you feel good about plugging that guy in. So, yeah, I think a team's going to take a gamble on that.
All right, Chuck is back. We've got the earpiece thing settled up. Hopefully everything's good. Chuck, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. More injury news. Give us the bad news on Mickey Rodolfo.
Well, the thing with Mike Rodolfo is that, by the way, there's still a delay here, but I'll be okay. I'm going to fight through this here.
Professional.
So Mike Rodolfo, he's out for 8 to 10 months. It's not that much of a shock when you consider that when spring training happened, he hurt his elbow, and there was a chance he was going to need Tommy John surgery. They had him bat throughout the season. He had 334 plate appearances and looked great. As the season went on, the symptoms went away in the elbow, so they said, okay, let's try a throwing program. We might be able to get Rodolfo in the outfield this season. But there was a setback with that during the throwing program, so now they've just decided, okay, Tommy John surgery, he'll be back in May. Under the circumstances, it's not a huge blow. You would have liked of him to finish the whole season and be able to play the outfield the whole year, or maybe half of it. But as it is, he'll be back probably in May of next year. We saw him be very good as a hitter. I mean, he had like 10 home runs, batted about 260, 270, got his walks up a little bit. So that was encouraging for him. It's not a woe is me kind of injury when you consider this was, we kind of saw where this might be going in spring training, and he got a lot of plate appearances in as a hitter at Winston-Salem. So it is what it is, but at least there was some development this year with Michael Rodolfo when he's only 21 years old.
Okay, so not the worst news, but not great news. Rick Hahn talked today, right? What possible trades might the rebuilding Sox make with some of these guys banged up now?
Yeah, I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to be trading away a couple of bullpen arms and maybe even James Shields. He says that there are multiple teams who have called about their pitching. Joaquin Soria has been one of the best relievers in baseball over the last month and a half. And you got teams like the Dodgers who have three guys on the disabled list. They could be using a bullpen arm. The Indians, what's funny about the Indians is They need relief pitching and they need an outfielder, and the White Sox have both of that. Xavier Cedeño has been lights out as a lefty out of the bullpen for the White Sox. I could see the Red Sox calling about him because they do not have a single left-handed pitcher in their bullpen. So I think you're going to see a couple of those guys moved. You're not going to get a ton for them. Soria is under contract for next year. There's a team option for him. Cedeño is up after this year. So or I think he might be arbitration eligible. No, I think he's just up after this year. So you're looking to flip a guy and get what they got in return, maybe for an Anthony Swarzak, Miguel Gonzalez last year, someone to help out the farm system. That's what the Sox are hoping for with any of these trades that might come down the line in the next few weeks.
Chuck, before we let you go, Abreu named an all-star starter. I found this stunning yesterday. You're telling me he's the first Sox starter in the all-star game since Big Frank? That seems impossible. The team won the World Series, but that's factual, correct?
That is factual. First position player to start. I mean, they've had some pitchers start, like Chris Sale. But they've had a lot of all-stars over the years. And even in 05, 06, they sent like six or seven guys, but not the starters. And I think a lot of it has to do with they haven't had, other than Frank Thomas, and I was going to say Paul Konerko, they haven't had too many position players stay here for many years and really build up the popularity across the country to get the vote. And I mean, Konerko was popular enough, but it was at a time when there were so many popular first basemen, he couldn't really compete with that. So it is a surprise for sure, and hopefully some of the future prospects that we've been talking about for so long, they'll be filling in after what Jose Abreu is going to do this year and be able to start some future All-Star games, because I think it's time they have some position players that cement themselves and make a name for themselves for the White Sox throughout the country.
All right, Chuck, thanks. We appreciate it. Sox and Cards on the South Side tonight. So we look at what's going on with the White Sox and what's happening with this team. On the other side of the coin, you have Dexter Fowler, a guy who left town and now is in with the Cardinals, and the president of the team comes out and says he needs to bring energy. What's going on with Dexter Fowler? I mean, we just talked about all these outfielders.
The president
that teams
of the
need.
Cardinals needs to show some energy.
Yeah, right?
That's, he needs that's to fire his manager. He needs to find some players who can actually pick up the ball and not bobble it and throw the ball well. That was a very, very bad move on his part. Dexter Fowler has not played well. There's no question about it. Energy? Big mistake saying that.
Extremely unprofessional. I mean, George is right. When you're talking about a player like that in the public light, if you want to have a private closed-door meeting, fine. That's the way to handle it. But to go on to not one, I think it was two podcasts and question this guy Stafford, prefacing it by saying, well, this is what the fans are saying. You know, your job isn't to be a fan. It's to be the guy who takes charge of this organization. And that's unfair for a respected veteran. It's going to have ramifications. I mean, Dexter Fowler is a very popular player. He's well-liked around the league, whether it's in St. Louis or outside. And this is something that's going to get to prospective free agents who are looking at the Cardinals. If John Mozeliak is still part of that organization moving forward, that's going to reflect badly on him. So, and it absolutely should.
Couldn't happen to a nicer fan base.
I gotta take the other side on this. Look, John, maybe he should have tempered his comments, but let's be honest. Dexter Fowler's making a ton of money. He's been terrible, and those comments are coming from things he's probably seen behind the scenes. And Mozeliak's a good baseball guy. I mean, he's helped them win a World Series. He's helped them get back to a World Series. They're a competitive team. Maybe he should have addressed it in a different way, but the guy didn't commit capital murder by criticizing a player who's been terrible.
No, I don't. I actually like the honest of an owner saying I'm not getting what I'm paying somebody for, but when you question the energy, that's just sort of interpretation.
That's the thing. He didn't say he's had disappointing numbers. His average is below where we wanted to. We expected more power, more defense, etc. He questioned his effort, which is questioning a guy's professionalism out there. Completely different than saying he's not playing the way that we expected. We're hoping for more. He could have tempered that in any different direction, but he didn't even talk about the performance. He was talking about the effort and what this guy brings to his job every day. That's different, and that's a fault.
But maybe he believes that. Maybe he believes the guy's not giving the effort, so he's trying to kick him in the rear end.
You got to tell him that.
Everybody's
first.
So soft nowadays. You can't call anybody out when they're bad. I don't get it.
He didn't call him out. He didn't bring him in. I mean, you can't go to a podcast and have Dexter, when he's out on paternity leave, say, you know, check his phone and say, oh, look what he said about me. Call him into your office and say, listen, man, we want more out of you. I mean, he handled it entirely the wrong way.
The paternity leave is another chapter to it that makes it even worse. Like, he's out for the birth of a child. And you're saying he's lacking energy? I mean, yep. Who wouldn't want to leave to see their child born?
What the Cardinals need to do, really, is to look at their entire organization. It's not Dexter Fowler. He's definitely not having a good year. You're right, Jason. He's not been very good. But this has been going bad now for the last couple of years. They are not a fundamentally sound team. Their manager has been questioned a lot. They need to do a little bit of house cleaning, and it's not just Dexter Fowler.
So the Cubs used to say, you go, we go, Dex. Well, Dexter Fowler's back in town with the Cardinals tonight. He spoke to the media at Guaranteed Rate Field just a moment ago. Here's what he had to say.
Depends who says it. If your wife or somebody saying it, that you got, yeah, then it's like, okay, yeah, I gotta listen. But you know, other than that, you just gotta. Sometimes you just gotta roll with the punches. Definitely matured a lot. Obviously, it could have gone one or two ways. You could have, you know, folded and been mad, but you know, you shake things off. You forgive people. You forgive, you know, everybody. Like, this is right about just going out. Like I said, you know, this is put it in perspective. It's a baseball game. It's a baseball game, and, you know, it could be a lot worse. You know what? I don't even think it's the contract. People make it about the contract. You know, you're going to struggle in this game. When I didn't have a contract, I struggled. But, you know, it's magnified because people are like, oh, yeah, come on now. Like, it's baseball. Like, you're going to struggle. You're going to have your ups and downs. You're human. And I think when you think about stuff like that, then that messes things up. But other than that, I think that it's magnified from the people.
So while he's handling it very professionally,
sure
he's
is.
Handling it the right way, knowing that his boss is kind of throwing him under the bus a little bit. I think that's the perfect answer for a player.
Plus, what are you going to do? Bench him?
Yeah.
I mean, you are paying him a king's ransom to play, and one way to find out is to just let him play out of it. Clearly, he's been a huge disappointment. I don't think it has to do so much with the contract as it is. I'm not sure what his issue has been. It's definitely not the same player he was when he was here.
This would be like Tom Ricketts complaining about Jason Hayward not playing well for a stretch. You know what I mean? That's the equivalent of this. That's how bad it would be for a franchise.
Well, the equivalent would be Theo Epstein calling out somebody like you, Darvish, who's been both hurt and inconsistent, and he's not done that. I mean, with every reason to do it so far, he's not called this guy out in public. Maybe he has his thoughts in private, but he hasn't done that yet. With Dexter Fowler, they've handled it wrong, not only in the front office, but in Mike Matheny's office as well, because this guy needs to be on the field and try to get out of this thing. He's been slumping, but he's also shown some flashes of the old Dexter Fowler. He's not a part-time player. Harrison Bader isn't exactly a world beater. Give Fowler his chances there to get in that lineup consistently and make an impact, and the Cardinals haven't done that.
I don't ever count the Cardinals out, but they're in third. They're about seven games back. Will they be buyers or sellers?
I think they'll probably stand pat. They've had so many injuries. I mean, it seems like every minute the Cardinals are out there, they're having an injury. I mean, you go through that roster and they've been depleted. So they're probably not a contender this year. But I don't think they're far enough out of it where they're going to say, okay, we're going to sell. Because that second NL wildcard spot, it's so wide open right now. But, you know, the thing about Fowler in the lineup is the guy's been bad for a year and a half. And if you do think you're going to contend, I don't know how you keep a guy who's hitting 180 in your lineup and say we're going to run him out there every day. At some point, you might have to go with other guys like whoever it is they're running out there, Harrison Bader or whoever.
Well, so you have the Cubs in your division. You have the Brewers who have been much better in the division. With the Cardinals ever go through a rebuild like the Cubs or Astros did?
I don't think that
they... Can they afford to do that in their market?
No, and they've got some pretty good starting pitching. And Jason's right. I mean, they're three games over 500. I mean, they're definitely still in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
And that's a franchise that, even though I've criticized it now, you can never count it out. You know, if for some reason the Cubs and the Brewers go on a small losing streak, the Cardinals win a few games, they're very much right back in there. But as far as the wild, there is a wild card in the National League. There's no wild card in the American League. There's a wild card in the National League, and they're there.
And when you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. Lots of teams have proven that.
Well, they already declared the direction this past offseason with that Marcell Ozuna trade. They'd sent a bunch of prospects away, gave up a lot of their farm system to fight for this future here and what they can be in the next couple years. They want to be neck and neck with the Cubs and with the Brewers. I think the Cubs and Brewers are in a much better position to do it, but they're certainly not going to do it with John Mozeliak. I mean, if they clean house and maybe you start looking at that this next offseason, but there's no chance they're going to be selling off parts now.
Well, that is the most I ever want to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals on this show.